Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You can hear the program live each Saturday morning at 10:30, and there are many more interviews archived from our Faith Radio programs available online at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry.
It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together. And as always, we're delighted that you have joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Fantastic to be back again this weekend with you. This time of year, things change, especially the color of the trees.
And the leaves are falling.
Because it's fall, right?
Yeah.
And if I can be honest with you, it's not my favorite time of year.
That's hard to believe. I love the fall. Football, right. Bonfires, getting excited in the cool, crisp air. I think it's a great time.
I like it warm and summer.
Okay, so you're living in the wrong place. Chris will no longer be with us on the weekends. He'll be in Florida. It's hard for people to make changes, especially if you have a tendency to be much more comfortable with everything always staying the same.
Right. It's especially hard for people we call perfectionists.
Yeah.
Well, here are a few things you can think about today as we prepare to dig into today's topic, perfectionism. Do you ever have the desire to make sure everything is just right, a place for everything and everything in its place? And do you ever think, when I have so-and-so, then I'll be happy?
Or do you ever think everyone needs to hold themselves to the same standards I do? I think that's one of those thoughts that perfectionists have.
Right.
They feel like they're going to do it until it's right, and everybody else should do that. Or here's the one that I heard a lot in the therapy room. I need to be perfect so that people love me or care about me, which always makes me sad because you and I know, and we'll get into this in more depth, that nobody is perfect. We only had one perfect person who ever roamed the earth.
Right. Well, as you're listening to these and you've said, that could be me, those could be signs of perfectionism. And Dr. Linda, I notice that you push yourself to do a lot because you want things to be right.
I do.
Would you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I think I have those tendencies at times. I do set high standards and I do have goals for myself, but I think that that is different and that's a good distinction for us to make.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about world-class athletes, they have extraordinarily high standards if you think about them. They are not labeled perfectionists just because they aim high. They have the desire to excel, which is common with perfectionists and somebody who's trying to do their best. But it's not the same as the desire to be perfect. You shouldn't confuse perfectionism with excellence.
Right.
I think this is really a good point because it's always good for us to push ourselves to do our best.
You've talked about this in the past about how your family was big on academic success, and they didn't tolerate failure very well.
My dad was the pusher. Mm. He was not satisfied. If I got an A minus, and he's looking at it going, what? No A?
Right.
He wanted the highest grade. He was invested in all of us getting an education because he felt that was the way for a better life. He didn't have the opportunity to go to college. He had to stay home, work on the farm, help his family, and he was wanting every single one of his kids to go to school. So he pushed us. When I look back at it, I did feel a lot of pressure to succeed. The good news in my case was that I loved education and academia.
Wow.
you're going, who is this woman? But my middle brother did not. I could see the difference. My dad was pushing me, but I was also invested in it. So I liked it. But if I had certain kinds of personality where I wasn't liking it and didn't really want to do academia, I could see where I could develop a little bit of perfectionism and maybe had some problems that way.
Well, we've used this word probably 50 times since we started. What is
exaggerate.
What is the definition of perfectionism?
It's simple. It's the need to appear perfect. It's that searching that people do for something that's unattainable or unachievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the belief that I'm not okay. And I think that's why we need to think about this, because a lot of people will say, oh, a little perfectionism is good in everybody's life because it kind of motivates them and push them forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's okay, because it does involve having these very unrealistic expectations and standards. And the problem is, when you don't achieve them and you can't because the standards are so high, then people seem to be unhappy all the time.
Right. And it's hard to enjoy success when you're a perfectionist, because you always have to buckle down and move on to the next thing and do it right. And that can cause you and the people around you a lot of distress.
And I think that's it. If you talk to couples, if they're married to a perfectionist, there's an exasperation that people feel,
right,
oh, can we move on and do this right? So it does create distress in the family relationships. And like you said, a lot of people joke about that. They joke about being perfectionistic. They say, oh, this is a good thing because that means I'm successful. And yet recent studies have shown that people that have perfectionistic attitudes, that actually interferes with their success. So we think it helps us be successful, but it does the opposite. And then the desire to be perfect can also do what we were talking about, deny you that sense of satisfaction, and can cause you to achieve far less than people who have more realistic goals.
So where does it come from? Please don't tell me we're born this way.
We have to always acknowledge mm-hmm. that genetics play a role, because they do, right. And they influence. But perfectionism begins very early in life, when you learn that you're valued for your accomplishments. I think that's mm-hmm. what's important. It stems from a dissatisfaction of where you are, who you are, and because of that, nothing is ever good enough. And then what happens is you learn to value yourself based on your accomplishments and based on other people's approval.
The reason I said, please don't tell me we're born this way, is because this is me.
Is your wife distressed?
Yes. She has pointed it out.
She has.
She has used phrases like, what does it take to do anything right around here?
Are you tracking with the distress that it can sometimes
mm-hmm.
call, and
right.
then the dissatisfaction that you sometimes have?
Definitely see it, yes.
In terms of doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I know, this is hard. It's not really adaptive. What I mean by that is that it doesn't help you, because what happens is that you get to be procrastinating. Now, do you find that's one of the things? Because if you never quite do it perfectly enough,
right.
A lot of people I know who struggle with this say, well, I don't even attempt it.
Mm-hmm. To some degree, yes. I have found myself putting things off until I know I can get it done effectively and right the first time.
Then you're not doing it. And then sometimes what's happening, I think that's more important, is that people don't turn in assignments, they miss deadlines, they don't do what they're supposed to do because they're thinking it has to be flawless. And then what happens is, even the smallest little thing that you do can become very overwhelming. And that's a really hard thing. This is a good example, because med students tend to be this type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to turn in all kinds of assignments. And when you have a student who turns in something very, very late or not at all, it's hurting them, rather than if they would just turn it in, get some kind of grade, rather than get no kind of grade. You can spend too much time on the non-critical issues, and you can mess up and not even do the kinds of things you're supposed to do.
Surely these traits can be good to some degree.
That's what we're saying. I don't think
so.
Because we made that distinction between,
right.
Is it really perfectionism, or are you aiming high and trying for excellence?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the biggest problems. When you look at studies, perfectionism correlates with depression,
right.
with anxiety. And you know, I have specialty practice in the treatment of eating disorders. This mm-hmm. is one of the things I see with anorexics, that there's a high correlation, high association with anorexia and eating disorders and perfectionism and some other mental health problems. It's a contributor. I say we have to really get in our head this idea that we have to move away from saying, I have to be perfect in order to be loved or accepted or to get people who approve of me. And then one of the other things that's really big in this, I want to get this in before we go to the break,
mm-hmm.
is that when you're a perfectionist, you tend to avoid problems.
Right.
Because you're not sure if you can really handle it. There's this double whammy effect on people. I don't know if it's ever good. I think we need to think about difference between excellence and the difference between perfectionism.
Today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, we're talking about perfectionism. Let's go to a break, and when we come back, we've got a perfectionism quiz for you to take to see if you or someone you know scores high on the Perfectionism Scale. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and don't forget to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and that's where you can have a look at all of her books and blogs, and we would love for you to follow Dr. Linda on Twitter and on Facebook. Now, Dr. Linda, during the break, I was straightening out
this area here.
I don't want you to think I'm that big of a slob, because today we're talking about, of course, perfectionism and how it can create problems in our relationships with each other and even with God.
Yeah, we'll get to that at the last segment. I think that's going to be important because it has to do with how we think.
Well, we've also got a quiz concerning the issue.
We always have a quiz, right? Don't we? We have lots of good quizzes.
And it looks like this time I get to ask the question, so that works out well. If you or someone you know has any of these traits, this might be helpful and you may find that you're a perfectionist.
We found this online quiz from an organization called Personal Excellence. So we're going through these questions. Mm-hmm. Listen, take it into account, and see if you think these relate to you. Here's the first one. There is no room for mistakes. Whenever you see an error, you're the first to jump on it and correct it.
So what's at the heart of that? What does that actually mean?
That has to do with the fear of making a mistake. What happens is perfectionists often equate mistakes with failure. If you make a mistake, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is a complete failure.
Right.
You build your life when you're a perfectionist around that avoiding of mistakes. And as a result of that, you miss a lot of opportunity to really grow because most of us learn from our mistakes. You're trying to always avoid that, you're going to have problems. So the antidote to that fear of failure that people are having is to ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen if I didn't do everything just perfectly?
My wife asked me that one day.
Did she?
I was really wound up about something at work that didn't go right. It may have even been my fault. And it came home.
Most likely.
Probably was. Yeah. Yeah. And she put it just like this. She said, did anyone die because of your mistake? I said, well, no. She said, then don't worry so much about it. You'll be okay.
I have a little thing you can practice. Here's something you could do. I want you to leave something undone or something that's not perfect and just look at it. Most things can wait a day or two. Now, I don't want you to procrastinate because we talked about the difference with that. But I want you to take something that's not essential. Look at it, don't finish it, or don't do it perfectly, and then see if you can tolerate it. It's like a vaccine.
It's a torture of some sort. Well, here's number two on the quiz. You have a very specific manner in which things should be done. Many times, people don't get you because you're so specific about how things should be done. As long as something is out of place or doesn't conform to your approach, it will not be acceptable. Mm. And because of that, you often find it very hard to find the right people to work with. So many find it hard to work with you altogether.
Ooh, that can be a little bit tricky. We were talking in the break about the example of doing dishes.
Yeah.
And walking in and going, okay, wait, you missed that whole part on the line. It's that idea that, wait, you're not doing it like you should or you must or you ought to. And perfectionists often live with an endless list of rigid rules with which they must comply. The emphasis there on everything has to be done a certain way then what happens is you don't allow yourself to listen to what people are feeling and doing, and you're spending too much time on the shoulds of life, which take away the fun.
If you should, must, and ought somebody a lot, then you'd be no fun to be around.
You think of them as kind of nagging.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a good one.
Well, here's number three. You have an all or nothing approach, and this would be me. It's either you do everything well or you don't do it at all, and everything in between is a no-go.
It's an all or nothing. This is really a problem in the way people think, because you believe that if it's not perfect, it's all bad.
Yeah.
You didn't accomplish a thing. I was thinking about that when I was talking to you about playing the piano. Mm-hmm. And right away, if it wasn't perfect, you were dismissing it. Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
It wasn't that good. I didn't do it that well. It was beautiful. What are you talking about? The same thing is true with that example I used. I got an A- instead of an A. The message could have been to me, I'm a total failure because I didn't get the A. So that all or nothing approach and the way you think needs to be worked on.
Well, here's number four. It's all about the end result. You don't care what happens in between or what it takes to achieve the goal. You want to ensure that the end result is attained. Otherwise, you feel annoyed or devastated.
Are we talking about the presidential election now?
Just get it over with.
Sorry, we won't do politics. Underneath that whole thing is a fear of failure. And perfectionists often equate failure to achieve their goals with a lack of personal worth. Somebody who doesn't lose weight, I'm a total loser. I can't do this. What's wrong with me? It's not just about the end results. There's all kinds of cliches over this. It's all about the journey.
Yeah.
But it is all about the journey. It's not always the end result.
Right. Number five, you are extremely hard on yourself. Whenever something goes wrong, you become really hard on yourself and you're critical. It doesn't matter if it's your fault or if it's just one small little thing. You're always quick to beat yourself up and you feel extremely bad about a mistake for a long time.
You know what the root of that is for most people?
What's that?
Fear of disapproval.
Ooh.
The idea that if you let people see your flaws, that somehow they're not going to accept you, they're not going to like you. In a sense, when you try to be perfect, it's a way of trying to protect yourself from criticism or rejection or disapproval.
Right. As we move through the quiz here, number six, you become depressed when you don't achieve your goals, and you often mull over outcomes that don't turn out as you thought they would. You keep wondering, what if? And most importantly, you feel that everything must be your fault if you don't achieve that perfect desired end result.
This goes back to those really high standards, whatever you set your mind to. And sometimes those targets can stress you out endlessly and you end up exhausting yourself trying to reach those goals. And at one point, you can be held back because you're procrastinating and you're not working on your goals because you're afraid you're not going to reach them. So it becomes this endless cycle.
Right.
You got to work on that standard setting. That's the antidote to that one.
Well, let's get through number seven before the break. Success is never enough. Whatever you do, there's always a greater height to aim for. And even when you achieve X, you want 2X.
That's right.
And then once you achieve 2X, you want 5X. Beyond this desire for betterment, many times you're not happy if you don't go for a higher goal. And you're rarely content with the status quo, and you keep wanting to see more and better things.
There's no balance there, and there's no realistic goal setting. I think we can get through the last two. We've got two minutes before the break, so let's try to get through 8 and 9, and then people can see how they score on this quiz.
Number 8, you constantly spot mistakes when others don't see any. While this can simply mean you are very detail-oriented, perfectionists often spot mistakes and issues from a mile away. And sometimes these mistakes are real, but a lot of times they're self-imagined.
And that's where you're focusing in again. It's called selective abstraction in psychology, where you're focusing in on only the problem and you're not seeing the whole picture. And then finally, you often spend copious amounts of time to perfect something. Perfection is the end goal, and it's not uncommon for you to sacrifice your sleep or your personal time, I would say your relationship time, and then your well-being. So just because you're doing all that so you can have the highest level of work possible, to you, it's all part of achieving your goals.
I'm glad you added that word relationships in there, because you see people crawl away in a hole to achieve something and they forfeit their relationships with their families.
Yeah, you're giving up a lot.
If you scored high on that perfectionism quiz, stay with us, because in a minute, we will have some help right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
There's no doubt about it. We are definitely living in the text, Twitter, and email age. The handwritten note has become quite the relic. But just because we don't write much with pen and paper anymore doesn't mean we should forsake the kind and encouraging message. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I want to encourage you to share a kind word. Even if it's a text, the power of telling a friend you're thinking of them, complimenting a success, or just saying, hey, hang in there, can make all the difference. If you've ever had your day interrupted by just a quick but genuine message from someone close, you know how a thought can raise your spirits, rejuvenate your mind, or help you stick on a difficult path because someone just cares. While you're listening right now, someone may come to mind, someone you can encourage with a few words. Take a minute and text, tweet, or email that person. Tell them you value them and the part they play in your life. It just might change their whole day.
Hey folks, Chris Weigel here to let you know Dr. Linda's on Instagram. Follow her at Dr. Linda Mintel. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Today we're talking about perfectionism and how it interferes with our relationships. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast of this show and you'll see how you scored on the perfectionism quiz that we just took a minute ago. So Dr. Linda, let's talk more about spiritual help in this area.
Before we do that, Chris, I was singing the whole time, Baby, You're Perfect. It's for all you One Direction fans.
Right.
I do like that song because it's about a guy saying you have all these flaws and stuff, but you're really perfect.
And Dr. Linda asked to sing it on the show today.
But let's go to the spiritual help because this is where the rubber meets the road in my mind. We look at Ephesians 2:8, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified version because that really gives us a lot more meat to the scripture. It says, for it is by free grace, and grace is God's unmerited favor, that you are saved or delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. By free grace, you are saved through faith. So it's not about what you do. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving. You can't earn God's love or right standing. Right there, God is telling us that we can't earn his love or salvation. Why do we do this so much then is what I keep wondering. If you look at this scripture, it says there's nothing you can do. We are saved by grace, not by what we do. And Christ's death and resurrection made our right standing with God possible. We didn't do it.
Right.
What do you think? Why do you think we spend so much time striving?
I think it's because, I don't want to say Satan has a stronghold on our lives, but he does have a little influence.
Yeah.
And he'll get that word in there that says, hey, you are no good at what you're doing here. And we hear it and we listen to it.
Yeah, and he makes us doubt it.
Right.
He does.
2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, that in and through him we might become the righteousness of God. What we ought to be approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. This Amplified version really stretches the verse out and gives you the meaning of,
it does.
Of these words.
It is Christ. It is Christ's perfection. He was of no sin, and yet he took our sin, and he made us the righteousness of God. This is the basis of all self-acceptance. If we could see who we are through Christ, knowing that Christ and God accepts us through Jesus Christ, he sees us totally righteous. It's not a worldly concept. We're clashing with the culture because the culture says, no, no, it's all about what you do. You have to continue to do more, 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 or I'm not going to accept you. And it says in 1 John 1:9, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am clothed in his righteousness, not mine. The Bible says that if I confess my sin, God is faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I am love, and God is for you and not against you. So he doesn't keep score. Don't you think we do a lot of this in relationships? We keep score.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't you remember when you...
Yeah, and he wants me to do this, but I noticed yesterday you didn't pick up your clothes.
Right.
So why are you asking me? And we do this back and forth kind of thing because we feel like somehow we have to earn the approval of other people.
Right.
And perfectionists do say, I need to earn an approval. And it's the opposite of what grace is saying. Grace is saying that you have that approval, and it is a free gift that God has given us.
Well, Dr. Linda, based on these scriptures, give us some practical help as well.
One of the things you have to learn to do when you're struggling with perfectionism is to celebrate some kind of modest improvement. Set some small goals. In sequence, try to reach those goals. And as you reach a goal, set your next one, but don't do it so high that you can't achieve it.
It's hard for a perfectionist.
I know, that's why I'm telling you to do this.
They want to fix it right now, and you're saying take steps.
I'm saying don't go from 0 to 60. It's like trying for less than 100%. Experiment with your standards and see if you can go for maybe 90% or 80% or 60% and help you realize that whole idea that you said before, Chris, what your wife was telling you, the world didn't end, nobody died because you weren't perfect. Here's another one. Check your feelings. If you're used to feelings of anxiety and depression and they're coming on because you haven't done anything, ask yourself, am I feeling this way because of the impossible standards I've set up? And then the other thing I would say is face your fears. Confront the fears that might be behind your perfectionism by asking yourself, what am I afraid of? What is the worst thing that could happen?
Right.
And then try to renew your mind with 2 Timothy 1:7, which is a very familiar verse to a lot of people. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And then the last tip before we have to end the program is to allow grace for your mistakes and recognize that many positive things can only be learned by making mistakes. I know we talked about that. Ask that question. What can I learn from this experience rather than saying, oh, no, I wasn't perfect? Ask yourself what you can do and look to the one who was perfect and knows what he's doing and that he's doing a good work in you. Let's leave our audience with Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. As Christians, because we are accepted, we accept that Jesus bore our sins when he died on the cross. You and I are already perfect in God's sight. We have nothing to prove. God is saying, baby, you're perfect. And that should be God's song. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Isaiah Wilhelm, our social media director, Cody Gokenauer. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together. And it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.